Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report technical market call for June 12th, 2025. We'll get right into it. We know people are a little bit busy today. So the first thing we'll talk about is the stock market, and basically we have a couple of discussions around our forecast, but no big changes. First thing is we don't have any change in our summer rally projection. We thought this week might be down. It still could be, but it looks like the market is actually probably going to be up this week again. We really do like the way it's trading. It's sort of working its way up slowly, which is how most really good bull moves go. In other words, you keep thinking there's no rush to buy something, and then the price kind of gets away from you, and before you know it, you're chasing stuff, and the market has a couple of big days. But we're very happy with the way it's trading. We don't like the big ups and big downs and bull moves. We like it to slowly work its way up. We had a question on accumulation in small cap. Somebody, a client, sent a chart in showing that there was fairly strong accumulation. My models have said that there have been accumulation going on in small cap for about 8 months, really since January, well, since November, December of last year. One of the keys to my accumulation models, and I think most accumulation models, however people do them, but certainly on mine, that is worth noting is there is no timing signal attached to that. It is a pure condition indicator. So, you know, one looks at the accumulation, one says it's strong conditionally, but you can't use it for timing until you get a technical pattern where you get it and where something can happen. And that may be happening now. People will note that we have pointed out the head and shoulders bottoms on things like VBR and IJR and IWM. Those are traditional bottoming patterns, and if we start to go through the neckline on stuff and on a couple of things, XTN is another one that's got improving accumulation, but also head and shoulders bottoming patterns. When you see something that could be a technical pattern that's a catalyst, that's what you look for to say this could work. And right now, those head and shoulders bottoms may very well be it. So let's keep our eyes on that. Certainly at this point, we would not be selling out of any small cap names. If you have small cap names that are attractive, we would be looking at them because this could have this whole area, and mid cap as well, could have a very nice move going into July, August, along with our forecast. In other words, small cap could really do well in the summer rally. In terms of the bond market, again, we still are looking for a rally in bonds. We're seeing some nice up today. We still think 92.50 to possibly even 95 by summer. That looks like it's happening. We will monitor that closely. We're not really trying to trade bonds because, again, we're concerned that if we're wrong, rates are going to go way up. But within that context of our fear of rates going up, reading through some of the traditional media stuff that I do read, just for an opinion on what people are thinking about, the consensus has turned from rates going down to a big problem with the debt and long rates possibly going up. And so at least the sentiment background there, anecdotally, is still in favor of rates falling. Jack, maybe we'll publish our market vein bond sentiment chart this week. That hasn't really changed much, but it doesn't. That's actually kind of a lagging indicator, that indicator, but we'll publish it this week so people can see it. We're not changing our forecast on bonds either. We'll take a look at commodities. We've talked about gold, and frankly, we published an interesting piece on GLD, and if anyone has any questions on that midweek piece, please feel free to either ask them on the call or send me an email. I'll be glad to call you and to talk about that in depth. But the bottom line for us is, as long as GLD remains above 302, the trend is still up. There's no reason to sell it. We sold ours, of course. We sold it early. We often do that. That's fine. But below 302 on GLD could cause problems. SLV is sort of consolidating the recent advance. If it keeps going, again, that's the last sort of nail we need in the coffin. So we would then be watching very, very carefully on the metals. Oil has favorable seasonality now. It has started to rally. USO, which is not our favorite, we look at the nearby futures contracts on futures.tradingcharts.com, but it's hit its first resistance and its first price target at 75. It's trading near there. We think that USO can make it to 80 by summer. UGA, probably less strong, but still rallying. Again, remember, the Trump administration does want gas prices to go down. And if you looked at the last inflation report, you will note that one of the reasons inflation was muted was much lower gas prices. In terms of some of the other agricultural commodities, like soybeans and that, they still should rally into July if they're going to rally. We're seeing soybeans flat, but DBA is also flat, but at least has got a rally set up. We should see an advance through June in that as well. In terms of international, we note that some of our Chinese stuff is doing well. International still looks decent and is trading well. And oddly enough, China, we have a Chinese ETF that we have in our portfolios, and we've been watching China. That looks like it's improving a little bit. So international, those international ETFs should still do well into the summer months. Again, we mentioned to people over the past year that we would probably use an active manager for emerging markets. Those markets seem to be a little bit difficult, but we had a meeting with a client here lately in Atlanta, and interestingly enough, that client was all over Argentina, so Argentina may be becoming a little bit of a crowded trade. We're going to look at that carefully at the end of the summer rally in July. Other than that, I don't have any real, you know, major changes to commentary. I'm sort of doing what I think Jesse Livermore said was the thing to do, which is most of your money is made by sitting on your hands. We're invested where we want to be invested. We're happy with the way some of the stocks in the sector review are acting, so we would be just sitting. And with that, I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz, and let's see if Jeff has anything for us.
Hey, Fred, morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's start with UWC, which is microcap. Seems like that is actually outperforming a small cap.
And that is you, weirdo communism?
Indigo, world communism.
Indigo, world communism. And yeah, I was actually, Jack, that might be something we'll take a look at in small cap. And yeah, it's already through its neckline and approaching the 130 area resistance, which we think will be penetrated. So yeah, that is actually doing well. And I've looked at it occasionally, but I've kind of overlooked it. That's a good sign for small cap though, Jeff.
Okay, let's look at another one, IPO, which is tracking companies that have come public in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's got a decent formation on it. It's a short-term base. As long as it stays above 41, that could easily hit 47 or so by July, August.
So, wow, that's good. That's good.
So we're all – but what you're saying is essentially these are confirming things for – some of the smaller cap stuff. I think that's going to be a surprise for people if that really works.
Okay, so let's go with conservative small cap. Let's look at CALF, C-A-L-F.
Yeah, that's basically, it needs to get through 40, but if it does, that's going to be strong enough to do, I think, 43 to 45, possibly.
Okay. And now let's take it up to large cap. And again, same concept, free cash flow, cash yields high. The top 100 performers in large cap cows, COWZ. How do we like that as well? Pretty similar chart to calf.
Yeah, it's very similar. Let me see if I can't type it in properly. Yeah, that actually looks a little worse, but it is starting to come out of this head and shoulders pattern. The problem with this one, Jeff, the right shoulder is actually lower than the left. If you look at the whole pattern from March as a head and shoulders bottom. So actually, calf looks a little bit stronger.
Okay, interesting. Do you find that to be interesting? I find that interesting.
Yeah, and again, one of the things, I do not know how cows and calf are weighted. Okay, but what we have seen in the large cap is the larger cap dividend names have done much worse than the smaller cap dividend names. And that's probably why that discrepancy exists. In other words, VBR has been trading better, and that's small cap value, than VBK for long enough that you're starting to see, although VBK is now starting to improve as you would expect, that would probably be why that discrepancy exists. That's the
Okay.
exact opposite of what's happened in large.
So next one is DWSH, which is an actively managed short ETF. It seems like the short side's kind of ticking it on the chin here, which is to be expected with small caps starting to perform. Agree?
Yeah, I would say that is correct.
Okay. And then market neutral, I'm seeing the same thing. Look at BTAL. So it's kind of like, looks like we just want to be long right now.
Yeah, let me have a look.
So
Yeah,
this
it looks like to me that that's saying we're going to have a decent rally.
okay, good. That definitely makes sense. TLT started to really shape up here again. It looks like this 85 is solid support. Agree?
Yeah, this should hold it. Well, the way I'm looking at it is this should hold it through the summer. And when it breaks, if we do break in the July to October time period, that will be one of the signals that the fecal matter is going to hit the aerating device.
Okay. Well, that's all I got for today.
Yeah, it's sort of dull, except that prices are going up. And I do think, Jeff, I mean, certainly I think this rally is quote unquote unloved, right?
Well, hey, Fred, a great old adage, which and I know you've heard before, is never short a dull market. And it seems like we've moved into a dull phase now. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And but I will tell you, there's all sorts of anecdotal sentiment things. I'll give just one example that just jumped out and bit me right on the foot, if you will. I obviously follow Investor's Intelligence Percent Bears, and I subscribe to it. And the format of how they Investor's Intelligence Percent Sentiment, right? Not I use the percent bears, but the sentiment indicator you subscribe to. And what they do is they publish their sentiment numbers, they publish a couple of charts, and then they do a snippet, if you will, of various bullish writers and bearish writers, so you can get a feeling for what the bulls and bears are bullish or bearish about. Okay. Well, last week the bullish number came in a little bit, and in their snippet in their section where they're showing newsletter commentary on why people are bullish or bearish, there was one bullish snippet and five bearish snippets. Right. And I do look at that. I count those up and see how the editors are feeling, because I think that's an unconscious way to look at it. And holy mackerel, Andy, that's one of the most extreme ones of those I've seen. So, again, I think we're doing okay.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, well, I'm done now. That's it. Good. That's it for me.
Good. Let's see some questions.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
In light of the bonds rallying here, how about RKT, Rocket Mortgage?
Bear with me.
RK Rocket K. Oh God, I'm doing Rocket Lab, Scott. What's Rocket Mortgage? I didn't know there were so many Rockets.
RKT
Rocket Companies. Okay. Sort of like fins on cars, huh? No, I mean, back in the 50s, everybody had to have a fin on their car. They were considered to be an old-fashioned car. I guess with the Musk and the space stuff now, it's rocket companies. This looks
it's all mortgages, this company.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen the rocket mortgage signs, and this looks like it can trade up to 15. The only minor concern I have is, even as we speak, we are halfway above the big bar that broke down in April. So, but this looks decent otherwise, and I think you should get 15 out of it.
Hey, Fred, did the Boeing, any update?
No, not really, Yogesh. It's holding exactly where it needs to hold. If it can break 203 and stay below it by the close, it could easily hit 175.
Okay, so no rush to buy, right?
No, I do not have any rush to buy this at all. I think I have not liked this stock for a while. Yogesh, like all of us, we have friends that are not in the investment business that occasionally ask us about stocks and buy stocks. And I, again, I'm not going to say his name. No one on the call would know him, but he's easily one of the stupidest investors I know, and he was able to get a very big position in Boeing above 200. So I've been sort of nervous about that stock since he was able to get in there. He didn't like it at 150, but now that it got above 200, it has very strong value. So I have no hurry to buy this, and I think there's better-looking transportation and airline stocks out there.
Thank you very much.
Got
have
it.
A great thank you.
You have a good morning.
You too, sir.
Other questions?
Hey, Fred. John Niebling.
Hey, John.
Carvana, CVNA.
You've got the chance of a little bit of pullback, but not too much. I would say, well, put it this way. If this were to go back to 311, I would buy it in a heartbeat. My key support number right now is basically, don't laugh, please, 330 and change. So you're just below that. But this looks like a completely normal pullback, and I'd look to add to it if you could get it to 311, 312. You may not.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Got it. Other questions?
Can I have a follow-on?
Yes, sir.
ARKK, obviously small cap growth.
Yeah. You know, I've never really liked this, but if you can get this above 65, you're probably going to have a run into the summer, and I would love to get this at 61.50. That's where I think it could pull back to. I would never buy it there, but I would never buy it anyway. But 61.50, if you get that, that would be your price.
Okay. I appreciate
any other
that.
One, Scott?
Yeah, let's see. The HCI. This pullback is nothing burger or stay with it?
That's HCI Group, right?
Yes, it's insurance.
All you've done here is you filled a little bit of a gap, and you could probably buy this right here. I don't think there's anything scary about this at all. I'll look at a weekly chart just to see, but no, this is trading quite well, and I wouldn't mind even adding to it here.
About TLN, please.
Tom, Larry, Nancy, Talon. Let's see. Yeah, this is a breakout. As long as it can stay above intermediate term 250, you're in good shape on this. And it's probably not going to get back to 250 before the end of summer when seasonally unfavorable oil comes back.
And last one, AG, Alpha George.
Alpha George. Sort of an odd chart and a lot of resistance at 9, but if we do get the advance in silver, that could certainly occur. I mean, there's no reason to sell this. I'd stay with it. You may just see it go dead for a while. Below 750 would be a concern in that gap, but I don't think you're going to see that right away. Cool.
Fred, I got a couple.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
All right. These are probably everybody's watching these too. MELI, Mercado Libre. MELI.
And Mercado Libre.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I had a broker actually call it Mercado Libre. And I was like, what the
actually,
hell
I
is
can't
that?
Pronounce it.
Yeah, well, it's a Spanish pronunciation. It's a Spanish country. There, it's like in Torrance, California, there's a street that they call Cali Mayor. And I drove all over the place looking for it and finally realized that it was Calle Mayor, which is the main street in Spanish that was, and the signs are everywhere, big signs. And I went across it back and forth looking for Cali Mayor, finally realized that what it was. Michael, the only thing on this Mercado Libre is you've got a little bit of a gap that has actually filled. And the reason I say it's filled is this is pulled back to the May high before the decline from which it gapped up. So there's trading in there. You try buying this here, you do have risk to 2250, but actually that's where everyone thinks the gap is. I do not. This would be the place to buy it.
Okay. And you mentioned this earlier, Rocket Lab.
RKLD. Is that the symbol? Yeah, okay, because I forgot
yeah.
the symbol. You know, it's flat as a pancake. I don't like that spike around 30, but it looks like it should hold 25.50, so you've got good risk if for any reason you want to have this.
And the last one is, where do you buy NVIDIA, or you just buy it?
I think at this point, Michael, you just buy it. Everyone is now that I've talked to has knows the stock is going to pull back, so they don't have to hurry up and buy it. And this is one of those ones we talked about, I think, at the beginning of the call where everyone says there's really no rush to buy this, and then all of a sudden they say, I missed it, and they buy it.
Yeah,
so I just buy it.
I fall in that group, too. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about this kind of market. It always looks like things are going to get a little cheaper. I actually have a Michael Levy stock. I was curious. You asked me a bunch of dividend names the other day.
Yes.
But you
yes.
didn't ask about Colgate, which has got the same yield as some of your other ones, but is a really nice base and holding on quite well and a staple and a decent-looking stock that I think we have in the sector review. Any reason you don't like Colgate? Is it price?
Yeah, for some reason I haven't liked it for a long time. I think it's just boring.
Oh, it is boring. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I just figured I'd mention it because the yield was the same as a couple of the other
ones. I find Procter & Gamble boring.
Yeah, they're not exciting. And by the way, for everyone on the call, Michael is one of the best dividend stock buyers I've met in my life, actually. You consistently do very well at that.
Well, thank you. I wasn't expecting that.
Okay, well, I don't normally comment on people's positions, but in this case, I haven't talked to you in a while. We got to do Mad Italian again.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go on and see if there's some other questions from people. Other questions. Hello?
Hey, Fred. How's it going?
Good, good.
Couple of quick ones here. How does Oracle look here on this breakout?
Let's see. You know, obviously, it's up on a big gap. Let me look at the weekly. You know, it's not – oh, this is a pisser. That's an old Massachusetts expression from when I was in prep school. If it closes here, it's a breakout, kind of. Needs a little more. I like to give them a percent above the old high. But below 200, it isn't. And so this is very difficult. It's exactly where I don't really know what I would do with it. I think it's going to be higher into July, but you might be able to get it at 190. If I bought it here, I'd leave some money out for 190.
No, I'm in from a while. I'm just trying to see.
Oh, then just sit on your ass and let's see. If it goes back to 190 and you want to add to it, be my guest. It looks like it's going to do well into the summer.
How about Microsoft here?
I'll look at it, but that's one that also still, yeah, it's trading well. As long as it stays above 465, I think you've got a good solid summer rally in this.
Okay, and then one small biotech, RGN, like Nancy X, like X-ray.
Regenex Bio. And by the way, IBM looks like it's going to do very well here. Your Regenex goes through, let's say, 12, you've probably got 15 on it, and it may die at 15. So if it gets to 15 and you're in it, I would watch it carefully and maybe sell some of it.
Okay. Did you get my email on the accumulation on the small cap?
Yeah, I did. I addressed that earlier on the call, but I can just address it again. I've got strong accumulation on small cap, which has kept me in it. And I just want everyone, again, on the call to realize that strong accumulation has nothing to do with timing and everything to do with condition. You need a technical formation or some sort of indicator pattern so that the accumulation can bear fruit, as it were. And it looks like these head and shoulders bottoms on the small cap indexes are going to be the formation that does it.
So do you think on the general market in QQQ, you think we'll be able to go through the old highs on this particular move, or do you think we get up there and then maybe do another consolidation or something?
I think we're going to go – I really like the way it's going up slowly, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know the old tortoise and hare thing. If you want to go 10 miles on your feet, you don't start out sprinting. You start walking, and then when you see – that you're at 9.5 miles and you want to get it over with, you say, holy mackerel, I think I'm going to run the last half mile, right? So I think what's happening is the market is going up. Everyone is waiting for something bad to happen. And what seems to be happening, by the way, is we get bad news and the market still tries to go up. So for me, I don't think we stop. I think we just keep going.
Gotcha. All right, appreciate
it. Very slowly. It'll be, you know, some people say watching paint dry is not particularly exciting, but if you're getting paid to watch it dry and it's drying along happily, it can be quite exciting.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Certainly. Have a good morning.
You too.
Other questions?
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Got a couple for you, sir. You know, you talked about earlier that Argentina could be a crowded trade. Would you start to avoid like the GGAL and
SUPD? No, I'm going to stay with them through the summer.
Okay.
What I want to see is how the stuff that's looking really strong looks in the summer. And if you've got nervous clients of any kind, what I would be telling those clients is it looks like we're going to have a summer rally, and the summer rally has been traditionally one of the strongest seasonal moves in the markets. But at the end of that summer rally, when we're in the, in the middle of summer, we may very well want to take some gains off the table finally.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right. But honestly, I am not selling anything right now unless it's really misbehaving. That was my old boss, Bob Robbins, who we always have on the call. The first time I ever heard him say, God, that stock is misbehaving when it gapped down on earnings, I almost died. I mean, not crashing, not, you know, dead or whatever, just misbehaving. I always loved that. So let me leave it with that. But, yeah, especially because, John, I know you've got a couple of clients that have been nervous in the past. That's when we're going to want to really take a look. Cause, and again, the reason I say that, people, I want to be absolutely clear on my reason, is bonds very often make a cycle slash trading low in early October. So if we get a bond rally to get things like TLT and bond futures overbought and generate some sell recycles, that would give us a perfect indication that bonds could drop into October. And if you're concerned about rates going up, that would be your period of time when rates could really get out of hand on the upside as bond prices make that cycle low in October.
Gotcha.
That's why I'm saying that. Okay. So
hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
Real
Bob
quick.
Robbins here.
Bob, sir. Okay. How are you?
Yeah, great. Argentina. I've held Grupo Galicia now for about 3 years. I see no reason to sell it. There are still significant challenges to overcome with their economy, but they have made huge strides with slashing inflation. And, you know, if anybody sees a reason why Javier Milei, the president, can't overcome the next challenge, let me know. But I think he's still on the road to success. There's such an incredible improvement in the economy from Peronism, communism, and whatever. I can't see the people of Argentina voting to go back to that.
You know, Bob, there's only one thing, and friends of mine that have recently been in Argentina have mentioned that is creating a little bit of discontent in the general populace, and that is prices for consumer goods in Argentina and in Chile, which is the longest border, I think, in the history of the world. Prices are up. It's not a good place to go visit anymore if you're looking for, you know, decent travel bargains. Prices are up. That could be part a problem. One of the things that Peronism did do artificially, I might add, was keep prices down enough to ultimately screw up the entire economy and cause them to default on their debt.
Well, inflation's come down from about 200 and some percent to about 20%. Is it rising back? Is that what you're saying? To say 30%, is that what's going on?
That's what I am hearing from friends of mine that have just been there, one of whom I talked to last night.
Well, now
and it's
bears
affecting
watching
the countries around it a little bit. But yeah, Bob, again, I'm not selling these things, but I made trim in July.
Uh-huh.
All
right.
That's really the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Good enough. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, I've got stuff like Blackstone, which I really like, but I have a more than the double in. I'm going to probably, if we have interest rate issues coming after July, I'm going to probably just sell enough of the position so that my money's out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. I'm not selling out because I think we're going to have a strong end of the year. It sure looks like it.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir, Bill.
It's how you doing?
Functioning.
Excellent. I'm glad Bob hopped on the call because I had two kind of open-ended questions, and one of those had to do with something Bob said 2, maybe 3 months ago on one of the calls. I'm curious as to what you think about utilities going forward, especially if we have rising interest rates. I've gone back and reread the paper that you and Louise published years ago and would appreciate comments on utilities. And I also was thinking about, Bob said something on an earlier call about the second wave of AI and looking past where we are now and where it's going and how it would impact other companies.
If Bob's still on, I'd love to have him address that.
Yeah, okay. I don't own any of the utilities. I own companies that are related. GE Vernova is widely regarded as the premier company with all forms of electricity so natural gas, oil, nuclear, et cetera. I think that's continues to be a great area to be in because of the need for so much more electricity and build so many more data centers. I did ask Perplexity how much has Argentine inflation accelerated recently, and they haven't been able to give me a good answer. If I get one, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please, Bob.
Okay, here it is. In the 12 months ended February 2024, inflation soared 276%, up from 160% in November 2023, which is a few months earlier. Okay, inflation peaked at 300% in April 2024, and late 2020, they're giving us too much information. We need to get to the present. Since mid-2024, inflation has been on a steep downtrend. By April 2025, annual inflation had fallen to 47%. Okay, so they don't talk about a substantial reacceleration, which was my question. So apparently, I would say it's whatever you're speaking of is not broad enough to be a big problem. Analysts forecast annual inflation to end 2025 between 23% and 30%. Okay, a dramatic improvement from the triple digit rates just seen a year prior. Okay.
Second wave of AI, Bob, that question.
Oh, the second wave of AI. Well, I mean, I'm playing it through Cameco. Well, certainly I'm in a huge position in NVIDIA, have been totally for the last 2 years. And Palantir, the software part of AI, I think it's a legal monopoly. I think the stocks, I think both stocks are going to $400 a share. May take some time, but I think Palantir is going to outperform NVIDIA and get there first.
Okay.
Did that answer the question?
I think so. It answered it for
yes,
me.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're Bill, welcome. I will see you at CPM. You know, from the standpoint of utilities for me and rates, utilities will benefit from rising rates. But, Bill, I'm not so sure that this is going to be a permanent dramatic rate rise. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a spike. The way I've been recommending utilities, and it would help a lot if I were to actually put the utility sector up instead of energy, I'm trying to buy things like Southern Company that have nuclear power and decent dividends, since most
right.
utility buyers want that dividend yield. And the other thing that's interesting, and Jack, I'm going to cover the nuclear, the uranium ETFs in the commodity section this week. What I have just noticed, I mean literally just noticed it, is my favorite has been NLR, Vanek Vector's uranium, and nuclear energy. That's a good, that's a nice cross between uranium and nuclear uranium. Try to get my head around that. But NLR has been my favorite. It looks like URA is catching up nicely, though. And one of my all-time best moments with in a meeting with somebody who now I'm sure thinks I'm a complete and utter idiot, which is what I was trying to convey, was URNM, the Sprott Funds Uranium Mining ETF. That one is still lagging horribly. In fact, if you have losses in that or small gains, I would just sell it and go into NLR. But I did ask, since it was a Sprott fund, I said, can you take physical delivery of the uranium? Since they're gold funds and all that, you get physical delivery. And the speaker looked at me like, what kind of an idiot is in the audience? I was very pleased.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's been my kicker for them, and I think they're going to be certainly in equal weight.
Okay, and I will look forward to seeing you in Denver in August at the Academy of Certified Portfolio Managers Conference. And let me know the next time you're in our area, in the Dallas, Northeast Texas area. So we can
I'm going to be connect. Doing a call tomorrow, on Monday, rather, and I may have some information on that. Get a hold of me Monday afternoon.
I'll reach out. Thanks, Fred.
Got it.
And thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Hey, Fred. Fred, could I ask you and Bob and Jeff to comment on the possible breakdown of the Dixie dollar, DXY? Technically as well as fundamentally.
Let me see if I can actually get a chart of it up. And let me get to a different charting package. Bob, you can feel like you can go ahead if you want. But I don't look at this as a breakdown really yet, Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, with pushes either way, I'm looking at FXE and FXY as basically going into fairly long-term ranges. So in other words, I think you're going to have a much more stable currency market than you've had in the two main currencies in the dollar that we've had over the last few years.
Okay.
Jeff, do you have anything? And then Bob?
Hey, Fred, I do.
Okay.
One nice thing that I can do in Bloomberg is look at the euro versus the U.S. dollar, and I'm actually seeing like dollar looks like it's getting ready to pick up relative to that on some of the stuff we use on Phil's stuff. His EC spread is starting to show dollar is kind of stabilizing now.
Yeah, that's sort of what I've been thinking. As well, but again, you know, what I think everybody here should look at is the charts. I use the big charts chart simply because they actually have a good chart of DXY, and most people do not. But when I look at FXE, which is the easy way to get the euro, you know, in 2018 this was 120. The yen was much worse. The yen in 2018 was at 95, and now it's at 64. In other words, these have been huge drops. And what you see when you look at the yen chart is it went from 95 to 80 and then basically went sideways from 2017 to 2021. You could and then blew up horribly.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. So
dollar yen too on that same chart where I do that in Bloomberg looking at EC spread too. It's positive. It's positive to dollar against the yen right now too.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. But the yen again, it's rallied to the top end of what looks like the trading range is going to be. The real question is, and Scott, this is something that I think will help you is the yen going to embark on another 30% down move right away? And I think the answer to that is an emphatic no. I think it's going to do nothing. And I will mention my old friend Arch Crawford, who always said, if you're in the forecasting business, for God's sake, don't forecast that nothing is going to happen. Nobody will pay you for that forecast. But it really does look to me like it's going to be range-bound for several years.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you all.
Hey, Fred. Colin.
Colin, what's up?
So the quantum computing story out there, I really have no idea if it's complete trash or if it's a next generation AI story. I kind of lean to the former. Would love any of Jeff's analysis. I know they're all pretty heavily shorted. Also learned that that might not mean much, but what do you think of the stocks? And then if Jeff, you had any comments on a few of the top names, what would they be? QBTS is one.
Yeah, so here's the deal. They're actually not shorted. they're shorted. Like, so here's a big problem with short interest. Lots of people like to look at shares short as a percentage of float. The problem with that is it doesn't tell you how long it's going to take people to cover. It just says, well, here's the percentage of the float that's short. So in the case of QBTS right now, Our way of looking at it is short intensity is only 1%, and it's only 1.26 days to cover. So like it's not moving on shorts covering out of this name, even though the absolute number of shares short is 57 million shares short, which is a lot of shares to be short, but not when it trades the way it does. What are some of the other quantum stocks that symbol-wise?
IONQ, RGTI.
Yeah, Rigetti, yeah. So IONQ, again, same thing. Short intensity, 15%, 1.92 days to cover. Rigetti, 1% intensity, 0.95 days. There's another Q one, right, besides QBTS. What's that one?
QUBT is probably what you're talking about.
Yeah, QUBT. 21% in 1.33 days. So this is just like the false advertising, you know? It really is. It's crazy that people are thinking that all these things are shorted. They are on an absolute basis, but not on a liquidity basis. The shorts can be out in a single day on almost every single one of these.
So what do you decipher by that? How should I take that, what you just said about all these four names away, being that the short intensity is lower?
Well, what it means is you want to rely on the traditional technicals, and you also want to pay attention to volume analysis. So the day that the volume dries up, then that's where I'd be like wanting to short them. Like some of the really high flyers now, that's like hey Fred, earlier in the call, like I had to jump off for a quick minute, but you were talking about Carvana, right?
Yeah.
What did you say about Carvana? What was your thought on Carvana?
Jeff, I don't remember what I said about it, but what's the symbol and I'll tell you.
Yeah, CVNA. CVNA.
Yeah, it's a fine chart. You could get a little bit of a pullback. If I were to see this at 311 or so, I would more than happily buy it. But it's a good, solid long-term chart that should trade up nicely into the summer. There is resistance, obviously, at the high in, let me get back to where that high is, October of 2022, which looks like 364. Sorry, wait, this is completely off. I'm going to need to do a different chart here.
But where would you get concerned? Like, what I'm trying to equate is,
if this were to break 300, I would get concerned.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of the point. So that's like 10% off. So
yeah.
Unlike here, now look at QBTS. So if QBTS dropped 10%, would you be concerned about that or not really?
Well, again, if it goes through the gap at roughly 1380, you could get a move to, say, 11. So that would be a sizable percentage move. It wouldn't ruin the chart at all.
Yep.
And, again, one of the things I think we've all learned, you know, on the call is if you've got kind of a high flyer stock, when they go down more too. We have only to look at NVIDIA in April, which I got at 97, down from 140, and it's already above 140 again. But those are big percentage swings.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's hopefully that helps answer your question, looking at some of these other things that have been like high flyers. I think what Fred's ultimately saying is you got to have stops on these things, right, Fred?
Well, you have stops, and if you're buying investment positions, what I do is I buy less and use a dollar amount stop more than anything.
Okay, good.
Right? You know, if you take a huge position in something and it falls 2 points, if you take half that position and it falls 4 points, and if you take a quarter of the position and it falls 8 points, you still have the same dollar amount loss, and you feel a lot better about it, and you can trade around your core position and add to it, you know, as it goes up.
Perfect.
But I
would okay, great.
My initial position lower. IBM, I believe, has got a number of quantum computing things. No one's talking about it in terms of quantum computing. One way to look at the daily chart is that from February to June, it built a giant head and shoulders pattern with an objective in the 350 to 400 area, and it's breaking out of that pattern now. I mean, and again, that's super long term. But that's one, if I was interested in quantum computing, that I would own. All the news I read says that they're actually making strides in quantum computing.
Yeah, you read both sides, and I think that's why I'm bringing it up. It's not going to be a middle-of-the-road position. It's either going to get wiped out, or these names are going to explode from here. And I'm kind of leaning to the former. From what I've read, it seems like a lot of this is hype, and so from the fundamental side, I kind of lean to looking to be short. But you're also stepping in front of a freight train and in front of a lot of these names. But
yeah,
the only comment I would counter that with is that the head of NVIDIA a couple months ago was like, quantum computing is useless, blah blah blah, and they got trashed. And he was in London a couple days ago, and you know, Jensen Huang came out and totally different viewpoint just a couple months later, where he was like, well, they're getting a lot closer, you know, to doing some really cool stuff. So I find that very interesting how he altered his commentary on that.
So that just
and
well,
I'll
well,
mention
thanks,
one other thing from the past, Colin, because you're a younger guy. You know, I was sitting there looking at Yahoo at $400 a share back in 2000. And you just knew that it was going to be a fiasco. Sort of like America Online, Kludgy Technology, one of the highest priced stocks in that whole area. But I'm using Yahoo because I actually shorted it. You know, and the stock finally went out of business and was bought by Verizon at 18. So 400 to 18 is obviously a pretty darn good short sale, isn't it? Got to say that, right? The problem was you couldn't stay in it. It went from 400 to 250 to 350 to 150. You have to just say, I'm going to trust in Jesus and let it rally 100 points against me because I know I'm right, or you have to use some kind of trading discipline. You can't stay in these things when you're short. So that's why I think you got to, you know, if you're going to try to play the short side, you trade it. You don't look at an investment position, and you do it small.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. I'll bring it up later in summer.
Sure. Got it. Let's see if there's some other questions.
Fred, to raise some money for a client. I wanted to look at some stocks Merrill doesn't follow.
Sure.
And see if you think any of these. I've got plenty of other choices, so... let's see, the first one is, it's a foreign stock, so that probably won't work. Next one is CLW.
CLW. You know, there's no reason to be in this. If you want to sell it and it's a non-Merrill followed stock, go ahead. If it can get above 33, you might get it to 40, which is halfway up that big red bar, but there's vastly more attractive technical charts going into the summer.
Okay. Next one is Frank, Nancy Frank.
FNF. This looks worse than a lot of the financials, and you probably got financials for the person. I'd just go ahead and sell it.
Okay. And next is Edward, Sam, Larry, Tom.
Edward, Sam, Larry, Tom. That Fidelity Bank, I believe, is local here in Georgia. I've seen them. That one I'd hold on to.
Okay. I'm also checking my amateur charting ability. I'm 3 for 3 for right now.
Yeah, 455. If you get 455 on Eslet, that would be a nice place to chuck it.
Okay. GLP. Again, I do not have to sell any of these. I got lots of them.
Right. It's dead-ass neutral. It's kind of in buy mode, but there's better-looking charts, I'm sure, in the Merrill universe.
Okay. First one I got wrong. Got cocky. Main, M-A-I-N.
M-A-I-N. Very similar, but again, this one I'd sell ahead of the other one.
R-I-T-M, Ralph, India, Tom, Mary.
Well, put it this way, if you don't sell it, you could have a rhythm and blues situation. Which I had to say. I would say this, if it gets below and it's very close to it, 1090, off you go and quick.
Okay. Sam, Paul, Tom, Nancy.
Sam, Paul, Tom, Nancy. I'd sell it. No reason not to.
Okay. And then SUN.
It looks worse than some of the other oils, so I would say, yeah, I would get rid of that.
Okay. And then done with that, now Rivian, just in general, your thoughts, R-I-V-N?
You know, it's a nice base. I've heard two. I've seen one thing and I've heard something, so I'll just mention these. The first thing is I am seeing more of the Rivian automobiles here in Atlanta. Now, they do manufacture in Georgia. That may be one of the reasons why I'm seeing that. The other thing is I'm heard that they are heavily dependent on the EV tax credit that may be going away.
That's right, yeah.
And that this is a base much below 13. You've got 10 on it.
Okay. And again, just a general question: PANW, Palo Alto Networks.
You know, that was in the chart book last night, and I was surprised that it had recovered as nicely as it has recovered. This is one that I would hold into the summer, Steve, and let's just see if it can do something.
Okay. I always look at the chart book before I ask questions, but I didn't do it today, so my apologies.
Well, no, that's okay. And I again, it's, you know, this is not, this is most emphatically not a favorite, even though it's a Nancy Pelosi stock, or was. But there's no reason to sell it, and this might do okay into the summer.
Okay, great. And then last thing, at some point, if you don't mind, I'm going to call you to talk. I've got a huge estate I've got to sell. I mean,
maybe we talk later today, Steve. I'll try to get a hold of you.
That'd be great.
Because, yeah, I know you get these. And by the way, anybody who has huge estate and huge problems like that where you want to go through the holdings, that's something I do for everybody. It's not just the people I've known for years and years on the call. So for heaven's sakes, if you've got that kind of situation, you should feel free to email me, and I'll help you go through it.
The crazy thing, there aren't that many stocks in the account, but it's a lot of money. Anyway, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Surely.
Have a good one, Fred. Talk to you later.
Man. Be safe. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, what do you think about pharmaceuticals now, like XPH?
You know, they are trading better. And I actually have been looking at a couple of the drug stocks with the idea that they may start to pick up a little bit. I've noticed, for example, Merck went right down to long-term support. It's trying to rally, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that especially if there's some yield on the pharmaceuticals that you're looking at, they're worth a try if you're not trying to shoot the lights out with performance in the next 6 months.
Okay, so mainly a yield play right now.
Yeah, I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Got it.
Hey, Fred, real quickly, on Rivian, I thought I'd weigh in with a couple quick comments for you.
Sure.
First of all, it's been shorted heavily twice since it's come public. In both times, the shorts got it handed to them. On average, they lost 69%, and they've never made money. So they've been wrong both times they've tried to short the stock. And now they're back in again. And it's high short intensity. It's at 92%. And then related to what's going on with it, there's a couple pluses. The one big plus is they just hit a milestone, and Volkswagen has invested in them, and Volkswagen is sending a check for $1 billion. They hit the first kind of benchmark, which gets them $1 billion from Volkswagen. Now, they're going to use that to pay down some of their debt, and they're going to kind of go and issue more debt. And they do have a pretty good burn, but the fact is they've got like almost like a $5 billion line of credit from Volkswagen. So that's a plus. You're correct about if EV credits go away, that's a negative. But the other real positive is that they make all their cars in the United States, so they're not going to have tariff issues. And then I think you got to ask the bigger question is, would Volkswagen just take them over and then they all of a sudden have production capabilities inside the U.S. so they aren't having to deal with paying the big tariffs on cars because they're here and they can expand here. So for what it's worth, I find it an interesting stock. Those are my comments.
Yeah, and Jeff, one other thing I didn't mention because it's not really super strong fundamental factor, but the friggin' cars look cool.
Yeah, they do. I know a couple of people who have them here.
Yeah, they look cool, and I don't hear any stories about, you know, God, they suck, they don't work, and I don't see them sitting on the side of the road either, and I see probably, you know, 4, 5, 6 a day easily in Buckhead and Dunwoody area.
Okay.
Which, for those who don't know those areas, are more upscale areas of the city. So,
okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Got it. Sure. Other questions? Very well. We'll say going once, going twice.
Red, if you would, please look at Red Cat, Romeo, Charlie, Alpha Tango.
You know, I keep thinking it's going to be Red Hat, and it's just not. That stock, I don't know what happened. I think IBM bought them originally after the at like 2 cents a share or something. Alan, that doesn't look terrible. It looks like it's turning up, actually. So look for 11, and then we'll see what it does.
Okay. Tandem with that, PDYN, Papa Delta. Yankee, November.
Paladine.
Yes, sir.
That looks like it's failed at close enough to 11 that this probably isn't going to do a whole lot, but if it can hold 750, it's still kind of an up chart.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You got to roll to 750, Alan.
Okay.
Cool.
Very good. Thank you, Fred.
Good. Probably see you at CPM also.
There he is, sir.
And I may have someone on talk about CPM on one of these calls. It's a great credential. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, I have one more for you. Could you please look at Commerce Bank, the German bank, Charlie, Robert, Zebra, Bravo, Yankee?
Yeah. It's still very strong. You don't have any reason to sell it. The only thing is it's still an uptrend if it goes to 22, which is a big drop. 26, 28 is support. So it's a little overdone, but there's again, this you want to hold into summer at least.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir.
Good enough. Other questions? Very well. We'll say going once, going twice. Very well. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for June 12th, 2025. Everybody have a really good weekend.